Our last chapter was on air quality and gas exposures on the farm. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about organic dusts. Chapter 8. In this chapter of air quality, we want to focus not on gases, but on particles, or what we'll call dusts, that exist in a variety of agricultural environments. Sometimes a dust is just dust, but in agriculture, we need to be concerned with what is on the dust that may cause an adverse health outcome. In this chapter, we are not going to discuss pesticides or agricultural chemicals that may be on the dust, especially those that may be in powder form. We're going to handle pesticide dust hazards in a separate section. In this, we're going to talk about dusts that are generated from agricultural processes. It's important to understand what the dust is made of in order so that we can understand its hazard. Some of the examples that I'm going to talk in detail with are things like a swine barn dust. It contains organic material, food, animal dander, and feces, but it can also contain viruses and bacteria. Its health effects is probably going to be a little bit different than something that would be like a road dust. Grain dust from flowing grain, when we transfer it, moving it from a cart to a bin, we're going to generate a bunch of dust that's going to come out. Some of this dust is going to be grain, but also it's going to be probably some insect parts. It may have some bacteria, fungal spores, mold, and other compounds. Some workers develop organic dust toxic syndrome, hypersensitivity pneumonitis, commonly called farmer's lung, when they're handling grain that has fungal spores and mold on it. We're going to talk about a variety of farming tasks that generate organic dusts that have been associated with adverse health outcomes, and we'll recommend some simple respiratory protection to select and use during these dusty operations. First, let's talk about grain dusts and farmer's lung. And we'll give you some resources to look at more information if you've got some questions. Farmer's lung is an allergic disease that's caused by inhaling mold spores from moldy hay, straw, or grain. If you think about mucking out a stable, right, that has hay that's been moldy or has straw that's been moldy, one of the things to immediately think about is we want to protect the person's lungs by putting them in a respirator so that they don't develop over the long term this thing called farmer's lung. The acute symptoms after exposure to handling a moldy crop or hay or straw include developing a sudden flu-like illness. This generally develops within a few hours after exposure, so it's not found during the exposure, but after you stop it at the end of the day, you start saying, oh, I've got the flu, I don't feel good. You could also develop a chronic cough, or you could just feel tired. A lot of people don't have big flu symptoms, but they start to feel tired. These might be a symptom of early acute responses to allergic materials in this crop. Most farm workers are going to ignore these symptoms, thinking it's just a cold or, you know, I've got the flu or something else. But it's important for any medical provider or a farm worker to understand that when there's a grain exposure and you're reporting these symptoms, that you don't treat it as if it's a common cold or flu. When talking with your doctor, when you don't feel good after handling a moldy crop, you need to clearly explain that I work in agriculture and I've worked with a lot of grain this week and I don't feel good. Symptoms of this, again, flu-like illness symptoms, may be more severe 12 to 48 hours after exposure, and it may last up to 2 weeks. This is what it's like when you have one exposure. But when we do this over and over again with repeated exposures to mold, this condition does become more serious. The chronic conditions of farmer's lung can develop from these acute symptoms and responses over isolated cases. What happens in this chronic condition is that we start to develop scar tissue in the lungs, and this results in a pulmonary fibrosis. This basically means our lungs, instead of being nice and fluid and able to move as we breathe, we now start to get scarring in the lung, and that interferes with the lung's ability to provide oxygen to the blood. This pulmonary fibrosis develops into conditions that at some point we no longer need to have the mold exposure to experience these symptoms of being tired, coughing, unable to get enough air kind of symptoms. These symptoms have feelings where somebody may describe them as a shortness of breath with exertion. If I go for a quick walk, I really feel short of breath. As the symptoms progress and as the disease progresses, we start to feel shortness of breath without any exertion. So it continues to progress along the pulmonary fibrosis line. Coughing becomes more chronic. Appetite begins to be depressed. General aches and pains become more frequent. The good news is prevention is simple. Whenever we are working with grains, and we should just presume that any grain we're going to work with may be moldy, we want to reduce exposures to these grain dusts. This thing called a dust mask, this face filtering respirator, this N95 that we've been talking about for a long time in days of COVID, this N95 is a respirator. Putting that on, making sure it fits and is worn over the mouth and nose. Wearing that dust mask will reduce the amount of mold that is inhaled and reduce the risk of developing farmer's lung. You want to start doing that earlier in your career, but if you've had symptoms of farmer's lung, we want to minimize any additional exposure to prevent the development of the chronic condition of farmer's lung and that pulmonary fibrosis. That's associated with grain dust and mold that's growing on grain and hay and straw. Another important dust to talk about in agriculture is the swine barn dust. Since the 1990s, many researchers have examined the relationship between respiratory symptoms reported by workers in confined animal buildings and exposures to dust in swine barns. Studies have developed a long history of looking at things, and they've identified workers with bronchial hyperresponsiveness, bronchial inflammation, and changes of lung performance that are measured with spirometric testing. This includes decreasing your forced expiratory volume in 1 second, beginning of shift to end of shift, your ability to exert a volume of air during a test in 1 second, that decreases with increasing exposures. Specifically, a group in 1991 identified that there was higher prevalence of chronic bronchitis and airflow obstruction for swine workers who spent 3 hours a day or more in swine confinement buildings. They didn't even measure dust, but they looked at a dose response based on hours spent in the building. Another group in 2002 found a dose response relationship between respiratory symptoms and the number of hours per day spent inside of a swine confinement building. This happened to be in Europe. The previous one was in Canada. We are seeing that the longer time somebody spends in a swine barn, the more severe the outcomes in respiratory symptoms, reduced lung capacity, and airflow obstruction. A group of toxicologists have been examining how these injuries happen by looking at changes to cells and mice that have been exposed to this swine barn dust, and they're seeing a relationship between the dust and these health effects. When we typically recommend exposure limits for dust, in many occupational settings, we recommend at most, we keep exposures below a limit of 5 milligrams per meter cubed, and we use that for what's called total dust. And that just says how we measure it. So it includes some small and large particle sizes. If we really want to look at the smaller particle sizes, we're going to limit daily exposures averaged over the full 8 hours. We don't want the respirable dust to be higher concentration than 3 milligrams per meter cubed. And those are for really small particles that penetrate deep into the lung, into the region where the air exchange happens. If we're concerned about these smaller particles, we have to measure them differently than we do the total dust, which has bigger particles in it. 5 milligrams per meter cubed is kind of our common dust exposure limit. In swine barns, however, this dust is a complex mixture of materials. Remember, it includes a bunch of organic materials, so it has food, right? We've got food in the building that gets moved around, and that's part of our dust. It also has animal dander from the pigs, also includes feces. Dried poo is part of the dust in a swine barn, but also these dusts contain viruses and bacteria that are present in the building. In some cases, a lot of studies will look at this thing called endotoxin. Endotoxin is just a lipopolysaccharide. It's part of the cell membrane. It's a component of a bacterial cell membrane, and it's a marker that says we have a lot of bacteria in the dust that we're sampling. People have looked at endotoxin concentrations in addition to the total dust, and they have found that increased health effects are associated with increased endotoxin levels when we do monitoring. There are some recommendations for endotoxin exposures, and there's no standard yet on what is safe and what is not safe. Some recommendations say don't exceed 0.2 micrograms per meter cubed, and others say don't exceed 0.9 micrograms per meter cubed. But it's important to know that some studies indicate that concentrations above 0.2 micrograms per meter cubed have an association with declines in lung function. We have what is the dust in the swine barn, and then one of the components of this dust, we can measure that by this thing that we call endotoxin. And if we keep endotoxin down and the total dust exposures down, then we can prevent health effects. Now, one of the issues in a hog barn is that the exposures aren't just to dust. So this is a case where we have a mixture of exposures to hog barn dust, but also other gases where they may both cause irritation and inflammation of the lungs. So remember, ammonia causes that inflammation and irritation of the lungs. If the organic swine barn dust also causes that irritation, then we need to consider the exposures of the mixture. Many people have recommended, instead of using that 5 milligrams per meter cubed of total dust, that we reduce the dust exposure limit. So we protect workers not to 5, but now we protect workers down to 2.5 milligrams per meter cubed. And it also, in hog barns, recommend, instead of protecting workers to 25 parts per million ammonia, but we bring that down to 7 parts per million ammonia. And if we can keep the dust below 2.5 and the ammonia below 7, then we're not seeing a lot of health effects. Those might be better exposure metrics to protect workers in swine barns. So the hog barn dust has some interesting components to it, but also we want to consider exposures to other irritant gases that are in the building. So that's how those limits that you'll see recommended by Dunham and many other people, that's where those have come from. So how do we protect people from these and other dusts in the work environment? First thing we do is we have to realize that these dusts do cause acute and chronic health effects. And when people realize this, then we can simply reduce personal dust exposures by requiring people to wear respirators when they're in dusty environments and doing dust generating tasks. So that filtering facepiece respirator, that FFR, that has a designation of N95, which is a rating on how efficient that FFR is for particles. If we have that and people wear it, then can reduce the concentration from inside the barn. Once we filter and breathe through that mask, then we have a reduction of concentration from 5 to 10 times lower concentrations inside of the mask if the mask is well fitted. If the concentration is high in the barn that we need to reduce it by more than a factor of 5, then we do recommend wearing what we call an elastomeric respirator. So one of those, you know, big black rubber respirators that have cartridges in them. And the cartridges that we would recommend to be worn are those that are HEPA cassettes. And those are the filters that look, the color's called magenta, but it's the bright pink cassette or filter layer. Those are designated to protect against particles. So we'll have chapters on selection and use of respiratory protection in other sections of this program. So stay tuned for more details on prevention and how to select respirators in other sections. In this chapter, we talked about dust levels and how health effects increase with increasing particle concentrations. We typically use the units of milligram per meter cubed. Measuring dust concentrations is more difficult than measuring gas concentrations, but we can still use our eyes and a little bit of flash photography or a flashlight laser pen to help illuminate particles in the air. If you live by a gravel road, you can see a difference in dust during the dry season by walking around the road with a flashlight at night. Describe a time when you thought it was dusty, and how did you know? I challenge you to, with lights off or really dim lights, take a flashlight or a laser pen and shine it into an area. Do you see the particles moving? Describe that to others.